To him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. One of the classic texts for this Epiphany season is found in the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 29. This morning we read verses 18 and 19. In that day the deaf shall hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. The humble also shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. These are the words. In the name of Jesus Christ, who came to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, dear friends in Christ. Quote, America is sharply divided between the rich and the poor, the haves and the have-nots. Do you agree with that statement? According to the Pew Research Center, quite a few people do. More than half of Americans now agree with that statement, which is striking because just 20 years ago, only 25% of Americans agreed. A lot has changed in recent decades. People are increasingly becoming convinced that there is a deep class distinction in our country between those who've got it and those who don't. What about you, if you don't mind my asking? Are you a have or a have not? Does it matter? I don't think there's anyone among us who doesn't daydream once in a while about what it would be like to be fabulously wealthy. Maybe you're driving through one of those exclusive Twin City neighborhoods like Kenwood or Lyndhurst, and you glimpse a sleek limousine disappear behind the gates in the entrance to a large mansion, and you wonder, what would it be like to be one of the haves? Well, I think most of us realize that money doesn't buy happiness all the time, or even most of the time. But there's something you may not realize, something you might have lost sight of recently, and that is that you are among the haves. In every way that matters, you are a person whom God has lifted up and placed among the top 1% of the very elite of the earth. He has bestowed on you incredible riches. Our theme today is God turns have-nots into haves. That's what Jesus came to do, after all, wasn't it? And didn't he most frequently carry out these Old Testament prophecies in the most literal and miraculous way? How often didn't the Lord Jesus literally make the deaf recover their hearing, or give sight to people who were blind, or help the lame to walk again? One wonders how anyone with the slightest familiarity with these Old Testament prophecies, let alone the vaunted scribes and Pharisees, could possibly have missed the fact that Jesus was doing exactly what all those prophecies predicted the Messiah would do. Perhaps the most significant prophecy in this text, however, refers to the spiritual benefit that Christ would bestow. To the poor in spirit, he would give great joy. The text says, "The humble also shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel." In other words, God turns have-nots into haves. We have to realize, of course, that when Isaiah talks about the humble and the poor, he's not just talking about people who don't have much money. That would be most of us. He's talking about spiritual humility, those who are poor in spirit. If you were here a few years ago, you might recall Professor Pfeiffer giving us a chapel talk on the beatitude, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." Spiritually humble people are people who recognize their absolute dependence on God. People like you. People who have listened to God's law and have recognized your deep sinfulness and your record of failure. People like that publican in the temple who dare not even lift his eyes to heaven, but smote upon his breast and said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." people, in short, who know that when it comes to our own natural ability to fulfill the righteousness that God demands, we definitely are the have-nots. But God turns have-nots into haves. How does that happen? How do we wretched, poor people become the haves? One writer pointed out what a paradox this is. He said, "These are the people who now recognize themselves as poor and in need of everything. How can that bring them joy? It ought rather, one would think, to produce great grief. But their very feeling of poverty and great need is the condition for their receiving the greatest wealth and thus the sweetest joy." What he's saying basically is that God turns have-nots into haves. Those humble sinners who don't hide their sins, but rather humbly confess them to their Lord and bring them to the cross of Jesus, to them God gives the joy of pardon and salvation in Christ. "The poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel." That Hebrew word there for rejoice is a rather interesting one. It literally means to dance around in a circle for joy. Let me ask you, when was the last time you were so happy you danced around in a circle? Can't remember? Listen to God's word. "In Christ your Lord has cast your sins into the depths of the sea. Because of the righteous life of your Savior, God now sees you as righteous. Because of his innocent suffering and death on the cross, God now sees your entire debt of sin as canceled. Because of the triumphant resurrection of your Savior, God promises that you too will one day rise to everlasting life. Do you realize? Because of Christ's life, death, and resurrection, there is now no power on earth that can keep you out of heaven." And if that doesn't make you want to dance around in a circle for joy, I don't know what would. Well, may we join Isaiah in saying, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels." The story is told of how King Cyrus, the great monarch of the Persian Empire, once captured a foreign nobleman and his family. When they were brought into his presence, the king asked the prisoner, "What will you give me if I release you?" And the nobleman replied, "Half my possessions." "What if I release your children?" "All that I possess," said the nobleman. "And if I release your wife?" "Your majesty, I would give myself." King Cyrus was so moved by this family's devotion that he released the entire group. And as they were on their way returning to their homeland, the nobleman remarked to his wife what a handsome man the Persian king was. With a look of deep love, his wife replied, "I never noticed. I couldn't take my eyes off you, the one who was willing to give his life for mine." My dear fellow Christians, let us never take our eyes off of Jesus. Jesus, the one who, despite our own unworthiness, was willing to give his life for ours. Truly in Christ, God turns have-nots into haves. To the deaf he gives hearing, to the blind he gives sight, and to the poor in spirit he gives great joy. My prayer for all of us is that we might understand even the smallest amount of the riches that belong to us in Jesus Christ. Amen. Prayers of the school are requested for the family of Paul Sullivan, former member of this faculty, well-loved teacher, dean of students, husband, father, and grandfather. He was taken home to be with his Lord on December 29th. We pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you have promised, "Even to your old age I am he, and even to gray hairs I will carry you. I have made and I will bear, even I will carry and deliver you." We thank and praise you today for delivering your faithful servant, Paul Sullivan, into the glorious kingdom of heaven. We praise you that for 76 years you caused his light to shine in the world as a testimony to the gospel of salvation in Jesus Christ. We especially thank you for his many faithful years of service as a teacher, counselor, and dean of students here at ILC. We ask you to comfort his family members who now mourn his loss. Grant them the balm of your Holy Spirit that they may trust your promises and look forward to a joyful reunion with their loved one in heaven. Help us also to number our days so that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom and seek the face of our Savior Jesus Christ while it is day. All blessing, honor, and praise be to you, most mighty Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll conclude this morning with hymn 517, and we'll sing stanzas 1, 4, and 3 in that order. 517, stanzas 1, 4, and 3, and I'd ask you to rise for the singing of the final stanza.